the idea of just asking yourself or asking attorney that, yeah, that's great, we are following this metric for forever, but does it really serve the interest of the company right now in this context?
Welcome to the State of CRM podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Ben.
And today we're going to explore the concept of best practices, which is something in marketing we hear a lot. And I've spent most of my career in B2B marketing, but even in that realm, we hear all the time like, oh, we have to do it this way because it's best practice. And a lot of this comes from the actual vendors or partners themselves sort of marketing themselves very well to basically suggest that the best way to get things done or the only way to get something done effectively is to do it their way. And like B2B marketing, there's all of these automation tools and lead gen tools that would have you believe that basically the only way to get leads or to create opportunities is to use their software and follow their process. And I think what is so important in marketing is we're naturally inquisitive, naturally curious, naturally strategic. I think that's why we're drawn to it. And what we need to do is kind of think about, okay, well, we obviously are employing this particular partner to get to some sort of end goal or to achieve some sort of objective, but is there maybe a different way to potentially do it? Could we potentially go about it in a way that we're not thinking, or do we need to sort of employ this partner's methodology to get what we want? And so today we're going to talk about that a little bit in the context of CRM marketing within some of the spaces that some of the major vendors play.
Yeah, and Matt, I mean, you said that, and you mentioned that you have a lot of experience in B2B marketing, and today we'll be talking about B2C marketing, but that doesn't matter. The thing is, that's the same everywhere. Any marketing practice is suffering from the same thing. And and it's really, before getting to the first part, the first topic of that is really understanding that some of these best practices on the market are just holding you back in a way of seeing things, doing things that maybe are not relevant anymore. And it's not because it's published on the top X best practice to do in CRM marketing or acquisition, SEO, SEA, whatever. That's these top 10 best practices are really the right one right now. And they are still available. I mean, still relevant maybe for some people, but not for your industry or your practice. So you need to challenge that. So let's get into the first part. What type of best practice are we talking about? First, we listed, two came to mind. The first one is around KPIs and how to measure things. And for CRM marketers, the first one to me, first rule to challenge, first best practice to challenge is just coming from analytics tools. These tools, we talked about that in our episode about attribution, but the attribution tools are just bringing best practice for acquisition.
Yeah.
The way the attribution rules are made, they were all made to show, to prove return on investment value of acquisition methodologies. And when it's nice for acquisition channels, CRM is not an acquisition channel.
Yeah,
that's a channel that's help multiple the touch points and help to build the relationship on the long term, and therefore not at its best advantage in the attribution rules. And that's first thing to challenge, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know, something else that's our KPIs. How do you measure the performance of your CRM? And if we focus on or talk about email, I mean, how many marketers are just looking at open rate and click rate?
Yeah.
Because of, I think, two reasons. The first one is that's the only KPIs that are available in ESPs because they don't want you to look at something else. Because that's the easy part for them. That's the easy part for the vendor to show and reflect these values. By the way, are they still correct with the iOS update? Really, I mean, did you challenge your ESP, your dashboard, that the open rate is still valid? I don't think so. The issue is that nobody is removing that from their dashboard. The side note is that's something we are discussing internally, and we might do something and or hide that or remove it totally. That's an internal discussion right now, because that's not a KPI we can rely on anymore. What do you have else to do on your ESP? You have open rates, click through rates, click to open rate, some metrics about the channel. That's nice, but the ultimate goal is maybe the engagement, the conversion, the long-term journeys, values. I mean, these kind of things that are not reflected anywhere. And so you are not trying to get that information.
Yeah, 100%. I think, that kind of gets us back to thinking about what we've been talking about in the past around the disconnect between marketer KPIs and business KPIs. And I think, to your point, a lot of that exists because that's what traditionally vendors have been able to measure. Something else that kind of comes to mind, we'll talk a little bit more about this when we talk more deeply about personalization specifically, but the methodologies in which marketers are expected to build segments are also, you know, the best practices, identify explicit things in the past, clicks, visits, things like that, that can tell you whether or not somebody may or may not be interested in a product, and then segment them based out on that. And we know that there's definitely way more sophisticated ways to actually measure intents, but a lot of ESPs would not have you think that because that's not a capability that they're able to employ. And I'm by no means saying that ESPs don't have value or that you shouldn't be using them. You have to use them if you're going to be delivering campaigns. However, think about like what they're best used for in terms of where you want to get from a goal perspective. If impact on revenue and optimizing towards revenue is the goal, like maybe the KPIs that are native to that platform, to your point, Ben, are not necessarily the ones that you should be optimizing for, and you can find other ways to optimize towards the goals you really want to achieve.
Yeah, and I mean, the segmentation point is really, I mean, interesting to talk about because that's something that exists in these tools because that was built 10 years, 15 years ago. I mean, 2003, 2004, I was already in CRM marketing and B2C for e-commerce. We're already having these capabilities of doing segmentation on who opened in the last 30 days, 40 days, who clicked, who engaged with the content. Fine, but that's still available. It's not because we are doing that and a lot of ESP are only offering you this opportunity to segment your database for 10 years. That's the only way to do it right now, and that's the best practice. That's a practice. That's a first step, a good practice compared to blasting and contacting everyone at the same time. But if it's the best way, there is a way to challenge that, definitely.
Yeah. I think, again, it's sort of like, what's the progress you need to make to get to the goal that you want? And maybe the methods of the past will get you halfway there, 75% the way there. But how do you really optimize your strategy? And I think that's where marketers need to get a little bit more creative and start challenging that dogma that the vendors are presenting. And thinking about like segmentation, another thing that comes to mind that we talk a lot about, obviously, is not just the activation side, but the data side as well. And we kind of see something there. There's been this sort of like explosion in the CDP market. And caveat, I'm not saying CDPs aren't valuable. I'm not saying that you shouldn't explore that option. But there's sort of this, they position themselves as you're not going to be able to activate effectively, or you can't use your data until you've unified it within our system. And CDPs are essentially software. They tend to be like a little bit inflexible. So they take months and months and months of onboarding to be able to even get your data in a position where the CDP can feed your activation platform. And the challenge there is, and we've run into this in the field talking to marketers where we're, you know, talking about tiny clues or whatever, and then they'll say, well, we need our data to be in the CDP structured, and then we're going to focus on optimization. And the reason they're saying that is because CDPs have done such a good job of marketing to CRM marketers that the only way you're going to be able to make the best use of your data is to create a completely unified view of each customer using our platform. And then you can pipe that into your activation platform. And by the way, we can help you create segments, but we need to get your data to the point where it's actionable to be able to do that. And the reality of it is there's actually quite a bit you can do with your first party data, even if you feel like, oh, it's sitting all over the place, or it's siloed, or it's unstructured, or we're still in the process of getting it together. Like, it can tell you a lot if you employ it the right way. So, I'm not, again, saying that you shouldn't be focusing on getting your data operations in order and optimizing that. So important, but is the only way to get there to unify it in sort of this hard-coded CDP platform. Maybe that's the best for you, but also you can start acting now and consider other options that might actually help you achieve your goals.
Yeah, 100%. The view of the data, this understanding the consumer, all this work around data, CDPs, consolidating the data, aggregating that, having these views, that's amazing for a marketer. But don't get, blind on the fact that you are building that to have the best usage, everything, and waiting. What I'm saying is that don't wait for everything to be in place and perfect and wishing that, oh, you will be able to activate everything when it will be done. I mean, you need to start right now. You can start with first small action because, I mean, spoiler alert, when everything will be perfect, I'm not sure that we'll do a lot more than what you are able to do right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nice to think that you can have all these capabilities, but I mean, that's same with dashboard, with analytics, with data. All this data is very awesome to gather and to work with to improve your program, your marketing, your actions, and building better relationship with your consumer. But the activation of it, the taking action on it part is often super light.
Yeah.
So why wasting, not wasting, but why spending all this time to gather, build all that together and not doing anything? Meanwhile, it's built on, you're building it and that just, you're not, I mean, waiting to better future. I mean,
yeah,
future is always tomorrow, you know, that's every single day. So just start right now.
Yeah. I mean, the reality of it is there's a huge cost to them, both from an implementation perspective, as well as once it's up and running to maintain them. They're not cheap, as you know. And I think like we see the breakdown for marketers is sort of between, to your point, Ben, like the CDP and then the activation piece. So you have everything in place. Now what? Can I really create a 100% journey-based experience for every single customer, even if I have that identity solution? And the reality is like there's still a gap between having that unified view and then being able to activate it effectively. And if your ultimate goal is customer relevance, building relationships with customers, increasing lifetime value and immediate conversions, the reality of the situation is there might be other ways that you can achieve those goals without having to make that investment. And maybe that investment is right for you. For certain businesses, especially big enterprise, complex businesses, it is potentially the right move. But there's also the option to build something internally that might be faster. Maybe not, depends on the resources that you have available. But an in-house data lake can actually do quite a bit for you in terms of informing activation. And there's also cloud solutions that are sort of emerging that we've talked a bit about as well that can mimic the same benefits as a CDP, but aren't hard-coded, are more flexible, and allow you to sort of pull in different capabilities and make use of your data a lot quicker. So I think like marketers just, again, sort of need to think about what's the end goal? Is it customer relevance? Is it lifetime value? Is it immediate conversions? Things like that. And what do I need to have in play to do that? But what are the roads that get me there? Because there's almost always multiple choices, and you kind of have to figure out cost and then what is the upside to that.
Yeah, and reading best practices or downloading an ebook on how to do it, all of that, you need to consider the context. How it was built, why it was successful for this company. Yeah, what's their business model, what's industry they are in, how many stores they have. I mean, that's, there are so many components on the success factor that, yeah, I mean, you need to be sure that there is no easy copy-paste tactic. You need to get inspiration from everything you see. And we are doing that for us too. But sometimes you just think, okay, that's a good idea, but that's a good idea for this company's context or situation. That's not our situation right now. That doesn't matter to do it. Let's not do it or just pass or pause that or save that for later or pass that to someone else as a good idea, but because that's matched their context. And that's something that is really important, and that applies for the CDP and data organization in general. You mentioned, Matt, I mean, the journey. That's the next topic. I mean, personalization and journeys. For sure, every marketer wants to provide the best journey to the consumer. Most personalized experience. All of that, for sure. We are all working toward this goal. But the question is there only one way to do it? I'm not sure. you can guess that, yeah, building a journey manually as a marketer, saying that, oh, I have a first communication and the second one, and the third one is 12 days after the second message or touch point or whatever triggered this step in the journey. Why? I mean, who is saying that? I'm sure that clients of yours will be happy with the message 12 days after the last event. Some of them can receive that 2 days after or 20 days after. And I mean, that's still a journey that is not personalized. That's not at the individual level. You are building rules for groups. Okay. That's the best practice right now on the market. But that's the best practice because tools are only allowing you to do that. You can think about other way to approach the journeys that you can get and build a journey of relevant experience at the individual level by communicating the right message to the unique audience with propensity and interest for the topic. And along the way, along the path of 4, 5, 6 months, how many individual journeys you've built doing that, that's way higher. But that's not, you don't have reporting. That's not easy to have reporting on that, a view on the dashboard on that, for sure. But for your consumer, think about what they need, what they expect from you as a brand, as a retailer, as a hotel, as travel company. Think a little bit out of the box of what your solution is providing you. Sometimes you maybe need to change from the solution or use it differently.
Yeah, I think too, one thing we hear a lot, like when we ask marketers what their goal is, they say their goal is personalization. And I think, again, that's just like very good marketing on outside of the marketing clouds that have been, you know, like we're the company that provides unique personalized experiences. But personalization isn't a goal, it's a means to get somewhere.
Yeah.
Like your goal as a marketer isn't to develop personalized marketing campaigns. Your goal as a marketer is to sell products or increase customer lifetime value, or ultimately what it should be is aligned with those overall business objectives, and that's bringing in revenue and increasing margin. And so we ask a lot of the time, like, what are your goals? Oh, we need better personalization. We need more personalization. And so we're actually, and I'm looking forward to doing some of this work, exploring what that really means in a bit more depth. What is personalization to each marketer? And we find a lot that it's kind of like, at least so far, to your point, that it's sort of synonymous with the idea that I need to create a unique personalized journey for every single customer. And I'm not saying that that can't work. Like, I do think there is value to sort of thinking that way, but one, it relies, to your point, on explicit signals. So it's not super scalable. Like, you're still sort of treating people the same, or even if you're relying on, okay, well, this person visited this page, or they put this in their basket but didn't check out, et cetera, so therefore I'm going to send them down this specific path. It's still like based on behaviors that don't necessarily indicate intent, and it's not scalable. So like what we find is, and I think this is difficult for a lot of marketers to admit, especially if they've invested time and money into a big journey-based personalization platform, is that still so many messages aren't able to be personalized. You don't have information, or potentially, you know, it's a customer that's relatively inactive. And so how are you going to bring them back in through a journey that you don't even have the data to create, or you're being asked to just push things out from the business? So you're being reactive. So then it's broad-based segmentation or batch and blast. So it's one possible way to maybe get some of your audience to where you want it to be potentially, but it's not scalable. And to your point, Ben, like, there's other ways to think of personalization, because personalization is just really creating a unique, relevant experience for each individual customer. And that doesn't have to be through predefined journeys.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. That's something that can be done differently. And I mean, 100% align with you on the fact that the goal is not to do personalization. The goal is to generate more business. And to do that, to achieve that, you need clients with a better engagement. And then personalization is the vehicle, the way to do it. This is the way. I will just pause one sec, Matt, on what you said before jumping in the last topic about the survey, the discussion about the goals and understanding why they are main, why marketers are going to this goal and how they approach that. I know that you are running a survey and interviews to better understand and quick chats, 15, 20 minutes yep. discussion with to better discover the challenges and how they are approached. So anyone in the audience who wants to participate, just reach out to Matt on LinkedIn, send him a quick message saying that you heard the call for the survey. And we are really keen to better understand what are the challenges and how do you're trying to achieve them. That's a nice discussion with Matt or Diana in the team to run that. Yeah. the survey is out. I mean, the interviews are running now, so we are happy to have more people participating in.
Yeah, thank you. That's a really good plug, and absolutely, definitely looking for some folks who are really interested in this topic that would like to share a little bit around what personalization means to them and how they're looking to achieve that and what the goals of that really are. To your point, so definitely right. Reach out. And again, it wouldn't be anything that we would publish your name around. It's just to sort of get some background information. I think could probably spark some really interesting future conversations on this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. And so last but not least, one of the best practice that's hold you back from making progress or doing better marketing is just internal practices. How many of you already heard that, oh, no, we are not changing that practice because we've been doing that for 10 years or 5 years. We've always been looking at this metric, so that's what we need to improve. And the metric is, the number of messages sent. I mean, yeah, there is no direct relation between the volume of messages sent and the goal. There is one, which is conversion rate, engagement rate, whatever the business you are in, because that can be a subscription, that can be a lot of things, booking. But if you, the way to increase your goal can be to increase the volume if you assume that you will get the same conversion.
Yeah.
But you can also work on the quality of the message, how you engage with your consumer, and then the conversion will increase and you'll reach the goal the same way by sending same volume of message or less message. I mean, just pushing that out right now. That's now there is a myth of sending half of the volume of message and doubling the revenue. That's not, that doesn't exist. You're not turning a switch on or off to do that. You need to make your practices evolve to be able to increase your revenue by sending less message and because they are better. But there is a way to get there, and sometimes or often I would say what prevents you to do that is just we've been doing that for 5 years, so why would I change? And that's just a big problem, Anthony. And so if we can leave you this, at least for with this episode, the idea of just asking yourself or asking Anthony that, yeah, that's great, we are following this metric for forever, but does it really serve the interest of the company right now? In this context, is it still valid? Because if that's up there for 5 years, 6 years, maybe that was the way to follow progress and the trend, the business 5 years ago, but things change, evolve, especially in digital and marketing. I mean, everything is changing very, very fast. So don't get trapped into this, I mean, loophole of always looking at the same metrics.
Yeah, 100%. And I think like that's what draws people into marketing and what makes marketers unique. Like the way that you do accounting, for example, like, yes, maybe there's some new software developments and things like that, but generally it's the same methodology, and it has been for decades. Marketing, if you look at the way we do it now versus the way we did it 50 years ago, it's completely different. And I think, like, you know, kind of bringing it back to the B2B world, like the whole reason we're even doing this podcast is because we decided we wanted to try something different, and yeah, we wanted to do something unique. And the ways that sort of B2B marketers were approaching content were just, we don't need to get into the details, it's not what the podcast is about, but they were just not working anymore. Yeah. And so we took a new approach. And I think, like, to Ben's point, that's, you know, I challenge you as a marketer, that's your job. That's why you're in marketing, is to think about, okay, here's the goal again. And whether it's somebody telling me it's best practices because we've always done it this way at this company, or it's a vendor telling you this is the only way or the best way to be able to get to X, Y, and Z, you as a marketer need to question that and think about, okay, is this the best strategy, or is it the only strategy I can employ? And think outside the box a little bit. And ultimately, you know, if we leave you with that sort of thinking and that curiosity at the end of the episode, I think we've done our job.
Yeah. And I don't want to push you and calling out BS to your boss when he's asking to review one metric, you know, but challenging it, saying that, okay, this is the way we were looking at data. Let's keep doing that, but adding another metric, adding another way of seeing the result and bringing other practice into that, or the type of campaign. Oh, we always done this campaign this way. Okay, but can we break down the campaign in different pieces of assets? Can we build the audiences differently? Can we use different channels to do it? It's not because you've bought or rent a billboard for 10 years on the highway that it's still the best way to use the money. I mean, there are lots of things. And as you said, Matt, that marketing is, or being a marketer is, the job is to challenge what we've done last time. I mean, there is no fun to copy and paste what's done for years.
Yeah, and it rarely works.
No. That's it for today. I think that was really an interesting topic for the week. I think we don't see enough of innovation in the practices, and especially in CRM. And really invite you to bring new ideas. And I mean, and please feel free to send ideas to us. I mean, that we'll be happy to talk about it during the podcast. I mean, that's really thing that we like to see and discuss to challenge the way things are done.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Talk to you next week.
Have a great week.
Bye.